Decide to take the rewards of risk and speed. One of my favorite expressions that relates to building a successful business is wealth rewards risk and wealth rewards speed. So what does that mean? And more importantly, how can you use it to build your dream business? Well, first, it's important to shift your thinking from wanting to simply create more sales and instead move to wanting to create more wealth for yourself. You know, I suggest you listen to or reread the chapter on Decide to Be an Entrepreneur if you need a refresher on the difference of creating wealth instead of simply generating more sales. But focusing on generating more sales rather wealth creation is leading you to Squishyville. The entrepreneurs who are living there, even temporarily, are generally risk averse and slow to act. Let's look at the difference between wealth and income. And again, I'll remind you with another disclaimer for one of my earlier ones. I have no formal training in finance. What I'm sharing with you are simply my thoughts, my opinions on the subject, and how my approach has served me. Income or revenue is the measure of your compensation. It's how much money you exchange or get paid to provide a service or to sell your products. This often is referred to as the gross, meaning your gross revenue, which is income before expenses. Wealth is the sum of the value of your assets. This can include assets owned by your business or by you personally. Wealth is money already earned and saved and can be used by its owner. Wealth brings you freedom. Too many entrepreneurs focus most of their efforts solely on generating more sales. While higher sales and consistent predictable cash flow can be liberating, I suggest your goal should be to grow a more profitable business faster so you can create more wealth. Some entrepreneurs, particularly those in the internet marketing space, like to throw around big numbers. Some say, oh, I had a six-figure launch or $1 million business, and clearly that's admirable, and I'm not diminishing the achievement or anybody that deserves the respect of doing that. But wealth is not created from what you make, which is the gross. It's created from what you keep. You know, I use an expression in my business, and it goes like this. Gross is for vanity, net is for sanity. Gross is what most people often brag about, but net is what pays the bills, allows you to reinvest in your business, put away from retirement, bonus your team, give back to others. If you gross $1 million, but yet you have expenses of $1,001,000, you are in the hole, no matter how much you want to brag about the $1 million figure. Okay, before I stray too much into waters I'm clearly not able to swim, let me get back to the subject of risk and speed. If you've ever been to Las Vegas, Atlantic City, or other gambling locales, you know that there is an inherent risk when you place a bet. When you invest in the stock market instead of placing your money in a regular savings account at your local bank, you do so hoping for a larger return or reward on your money. While the risk is less than at a casino, there is more risk in the stock market than a savings account. With those three examples, you can see how the greater risk, the greater the chance of losing money, but also, it works out, the greater the chance for reward. It's like that for entrepreneurs also. Understand that everyone is wired differently and has been raised, schooled, and trained to be comfortable with varying levels of risk. Let's use the three examples I just mentioned in discussing entrepreneurial risk. Risk level one, we'll call it the savings account entrepreneur. This entrepreneur will start a business with no borrowed money with the intention that if it works, they'll reinvest part of the profits to grow the business over time. They might read and learn new marketing strategies, but will usually do everything themselves to save money and keep the risk low. Even when they become aware of the success and track record of certain strategies, such as attending seminars or joining a mastermind group or hiring someone with a skill set they don't have, perhaps copywriting or sales or whatever, they will usually not do so unless the business and the cash flow of the business can afford it. Risk level two, the stock market. As an analogy, this entrepreneur wants more of a return than the paltry 0.5% that most savings accounts will pay. And they will take some of their money and invest in the stock market. In business, this means they're open to spending or even borrowing to grow their business faster. In essence, they're gambling on their future, or some say they're putting their money where their mouth is. When it comes to investing in faster growth, they are more open to using money they do not currently have in order to get the higher payoff. Clearly, this is riskier than the savings account entrepreneur, but with calculated risk comes larger rewards. Finally, let's talk about risk level 3, the casino entrepreneur. This entrepreneur has a high tolerance for risk and even higher level of confidence that basically says, there's no way I can lose. I'm in it to win it, and I insist on playing big or I'm going home. If you read about and study some of the most successful large brands and companies today, you'll see most fit this profile. From Steve Jobs and Apple to Fred Smith and Federal Express, they gambled big and they both won big. In fact, it was impossible for FedEx to start as either a savings account or even a stock market. It was just impossible. Federal Express started with jets. They didn't start with one little Cessna plane and grew from there. They had multiple jets flying across the country, sometimes with 6 packages on board. Now, perhaps this overly simplistic view of entrepreneurial risk is designed to do one thing. I just wanted to get you to open your eyes and think about where you are right now in your business. In my view, you can be the most talented person at, and then fill in the blank at whatever it is you do, but without the proper mindset about what it takes to build a highly successful business, you may not get there. Let me share a little of my story as it relates to risk and another of my 3 a.m. holy crap moments. About 5 years into my business, when I was starting my transition from my current business model, I was still heavily in debt, major, major credit card debt, and I was doing my best to provide for my family. I also recognized that in my mid-40s, I started to feel the clock starting to grow short on being able to provide the kind of wealth that Stephanie and I would need to live some sort of a nice retirement. I knew I had to play a big game, and taking it slow and simple and simply reinvesting profits from the business was not working in my favor. That's not an option that I felt I had. There was no way I could grow my dream business by being a savings account entrepreneur. It simply was not going to get the job done. Thankfully, with the help of some wonderful people in my life, my once strong ego and lack of confidence was back, and I was ready for this challenge. I loved being an entrepreneur, and I wanted more than anything to be successful. So when it came time to invest in my business, which is code for borrowing more money, what helped me make the decision go further into debt was this. I knew in my heart, in my soul, I knew in every fiber of my being that I was going to be successful. I just didn't know when. I felt with 100% confidence that what I offered was of immense value. I knew I could provide wonderful experience and that I could help many small business owners grow their business. I simply needed to become well-known and get myself in front of as many prospective customers as I could. I'm sure you can relate to that. There's 2 things that changed for me in 2006. Number 1, I became very comfortable that the end game, the result, was more important than me needing to be the one to develop the ideas or create the programs that ultimately succeeded. I was on a mission to create wealth by building a dream business, and I was totally open to any and all of the expertise I could learn from and benefit from. Far too many entrepreneurs feel the need to put their own stink on everything or just make it their own. Now, sure, I had a healthy ego, but I was no longer willing to be the impediment to my own growth. I would pause here and ask you, where do you stand? Number 2, I got very comfortable with my relationship with money, and more specifically, the debt that I was carrying. Much of this comes from my work with Coach Melanie. I began to see money as a tool. I became less emotional about money. Money is a tool that we use to accomplish things. I even switched up my language, and instead of calling it credit card debt, which I always believed to be wrong, it simply became my line of credit. You'd be amazed at how simply reframing something can make a big difference. At one point, I had multiple lines of credit with nearly every bank, and I used them to fund my aggressive growth plan. It's also fair to say that anything worthwhile involves work and risk. I once heard best-selling author Guy Kawasaki say, "Being an entrepreneur is hard in that you have to suck it up. If it was easy, everybody'd be successful and rich. It ain't easy." I love that. Suck it up. Once again, I'd like to share what a few of my Dream Business coaching members shared with me about their experiences with wealth rewarding risk. First, Brad Zahles, best-selling author. Brad said, "During the dot-com boom, my company, K2 Design, was still pretty traditional, creating posters, brochures, and typical printed materials. My partner said, 'We have to become an internet company,' and this was at a time when no one knew what the internet was. I had a lot of doubts and resistance because I thought I was taking a step backward. We were trying to sell it, and no one knew what we were talking about. After about 3 or 4 months of trying to sell this idea called the World Wide Web, someone stood up and asked for a CD-ROM hybrid that would launch a proprietary browser to their website for the annual report. From that moment on, clients started to come to our door in droves. We had to move quickly, hustle, and market ourselves differently. We had to hire and stay on top of all projects. We went from me and my partner to 60 employees in a year and a half. Today, Brad's company had the distinction of being the very first dot-com agency to go public on NASDAQ." Now let's hear from Dr. Anthony Weiner, also has experienced how wealth rewards risk. "When I started my practice, I had a partner, but things didn't work out, so I had to start over with ambition and a drive to make things happen. You have to have a main why and purpose. My family was a big driver for me. If you have the why, you can do whatever you have your heart set on. Having a new building and zero patients was a big risk, and also the impetus to do things quickly. There was a lot of dedication and legwork to get started. You need a lot of focus to strive to be the best." Great, great words of wisdom. I've mentioned elsewhere in this book, but it bears repeating, most small businesses fail within 5 years and 80% are gone within 8 years. It is risky launching a small business, but the reward, if you do it correctly, can be huge. There's no better way to create wealth and stability than becoming a successful entrepreneur. To be clear, every entrepreneur who risks everything to start a business, there are many who fail and lose everything. That is the risk associated by doing something other than simply showing up and cashing a paycheck. In general, in life and business, the greater the risk, the greater the reward. I truly believe that. So when entrepreneurs want to play it safe and not risk being bold or investing in their future business, buying speed, they can also expect to have the same size reward as someone who risks more. Let me say that again. So when entrepreneurs want to play it safe and not risk being bold and not investing in their future, they cannot expect to have the same size reward as somebody who's willing to go all in. Let me talk about wealth reward speed. Entrepreneurs get stuff done fast, and those entrepreneurs that get stuff done fast are much more likely to grow their business and achieve higher wealth. I've been coaching other entrepreneurs for 6 years, and I've seen folks who take a long time to create a blog post and post it to their blog regularly. Conversely, I've also seen entrepreneurs in the same time period create a blog, video series, podcast, write a book, and rebrand themselves. Guess which one is seeing higher profits? Guess which one is generating and creating more wealth for themselves? To be fair, everyone has different circumstances and time constraints. However, I've also witnessed in my own business, in those of many others, the effect of bold action and being fast to implement and without fail, when more risk is appropriately used and fast implementation is involved, the chances of growing a more profitable business faster is greatly increased. In order to reevaluate your ability to get stuff done fast, reread or re-listen to Decide Not to Be Perfect chapter. My business mentor, Dan Kennedy, says, "Success leaves a messy kitchen." This is true. When you're moving at a high rate of speed, you're going to create a mess. If you're okay with occasionally creating a mess, your business will grow full steam ahead. When it comes to speed and getting lots of things done and implementing quickly, there are several strategies that you can use to actually make your life a lot easier. I teach some of them at my Dream Business Academy, but I'll share one of them with you now. We are all operating in a content-driven environment. In the internet world in which we live, content is still king. The fresher and more engaging content you create, the greater the chances that more of your prospects and customers will find you. So, how do you create a steady stream of content for your newsletter, social media, etc.? Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't plug two of my programs here, so let me briefly tell you, you want to check out No Hassle Newsletters, which is nohasslenewsletters.com, and No Hassle Social Media, which is nohasslesocialmedia.com. But I want to give you a tip that works great for me. It's called repurposing content. The idea is to create some content and then find multiple ways to reuse it over time and across multiple platforms. Whenever I write a book, the first thing I do is give the book, the Word document, to an editor and have her take sections of the book and create multiple articles, blog posts, and Facebook status updates. One book can keep you in content for months, if not years. You may think this is akin to airing a rerun or rerun after rerun, but here's the truth. Not everybody reads everything. Not everybody sees everything. Not everybody listens to every podcast. Not everybody watches my every video. My great friend Lee Meltier once interviewed me for her coaching program, and when I was discussing this with her, I said, you know, Lee, if I thought for 1 minute that everybody that's on my list reads every newsletter, watches every video, listens to every podcast, reads every book, my biggest problem would be the size of my ego. So it just doesn't happen. We are all operating in a content-driven environment, and as I said, content is still king. I want to give a tip that is working for me, and it's called repurposing content. Another strategy is to record a podcast and have each episode transcribed. The transcript can easily be edited into multiple blog posts, Facebook updates, LinkedIn updates, and of course, linking each post back to your podcast. Again, keep in mind that your prospects are probably not seeing every post or update or may miss a podcast or two. Also keep in mind the advertising statistics that prospects need to hear or read or see your message at least 7 times before they'll act or even engage. These strategies and so many more are part of what I call my $1 million platform on a shoestring budget. I teach this at my Dream Business Academy. You can learn more about that and when the next one is coming up at Dream Biz Academy, dreambizacademy.com. Finally, we'll end this chapter with Dr. Michelle Summers Colon, who understands the need for speed and its reward. During a pre-launch or preparing for a trade show, everything has to happen quickly. Plus, everything depends on everything else, and it's a huge undertaking. So you just have to do it in order to pull it off. Just do it, as Dr. Michelle says. And finally, Susie Miller added this about wealth rewarding speed. I remember having more questions than answers. I looked at my list, and I just decided to begin. If I did nothing, nothing would change. Who knew when I'd have all the answers? When I figured it out versus I'm going to get started and go, I decided to just let go and let the rest fall into place. This allowed me to jump my coaching practice to where I had a 6-month waiting list. Folks, wealth rewards risk and wealth rewards speed.